May old losses be forgot and never brought to mind.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. 2009 has been a very rough year for the economy and markets all over the world, but it looks like the year is ending on an up note. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a high for the year, and it wasn't just us. Today, Tokyo's Nikkei Index is near its yearly high. The real star, though, the British stock market. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
The FTSE 100, the index of the London market's top 100 shares, put on an extra spurt this morning, and it passed a milestone. The index has now regained all the ground it lost since September last year when Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. London's doing much better than Wall Street. To recover its post-Lehman losses, the S&P 500 would have to rally by a further 11%. Mike Lenhoff is a strategist with brokers Brewin Dolphin. He says London surpassed New York because it's a more international market, plugged into the big emerging economies in the East.
I think what it reflects is the recovery that's coming through in the global economy, and in particular, the recovery that is being led very differently this time around by the emerging economies, and in particular, the Asian Pacific region.
He says one-third of London's FTSE 100 is made up of energy and mining stocks that are booming on ever-rising demand from China. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
World markets are still on an upswing this morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index climbed just a hair. London's FTSE is up 0.5%. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.25%, closing at a high for the year, 10,547. We've come a long way since the lows we saw in March. That's when the Dow fell below 7,000 for the first time in 12 years. You might have some 401k statements from that time you'd like to get rid of. If so, the Big Apple's offering a cathartic solution. Yesterday, a shredder was set up in Times Square in celebration of the third annual Good Riddance Day. Raphael Cohen was there.
People standing in line wanted to forget everything from noisy neighbors and student loans to cellulite. So they wrote those words on pieces of paper and fed them into a shredder.
Happy New Year.
Lori Raimondo helps organize Good Riddance Day. She says New Year's Eve is all about hope for the future.
And before you can start anew for the new year, you really got to say goodbye to some bad things first.
Brett Ortiz, a security guard from Manhattan, knows all about that. He broke up with his wife this year and lost his job.
You know, I was a very faithful worker. I was on time. You know, I did my job. And they just got rid of me.
Ortiz fed a drug test he passed for work into the shredder. Raimondo says people like Ortiz were common this year.
There's a theme for each year. And this year you do see quite a few that have to do with losing a job and they want to say goodbye to looking for a job.
Ortiz is hoping for the best. At least he found a new girlfriend. In New York, I'm Raphael Cohen for Marketplace.
Throughout the trading day, we're talking business and the economy on our blog, The Scratchpad. Check in with online host Scott Jagow and join the discussion at marketplace.org.
The new movie Up in the Air is in theaters. That's the George Clooney film about a guy who flies all over the country firing people. He also becomes addicted to airline miles. Well, if you're up in the air this week, you might find some people like that flying with you. They're probably trying to squeeze in as many miles as they can before the end of the year. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has that story.
In Up in the Air, George Clooney's character is so obsessed with his air miles, he uses them to pick up women. Here he is with another business traveler, played by Vera Farmiga.
I put up pretty pedestrian numbers, like 60,000 a year domestic.
It's not bad.
And don't patronize me. What's your total?
That's a personal question.
Oh, please.
And we hardly know each other.
Oh, come on. Impress me.
Turns out Clooney's character is on his way to a lifetime total of 10 million miles, which isn't such a crazy number to some.
I've earned about 205,000 elite qualifying miles for the year.
I met up with Matthew Clint at JFK Airport. His elite status gets him upgrades, priority boarding, and a host of other perks every time he flies. He's a law student in Philadelphia, and today he's on his way to visit family in L.A.
I'm flying from Philadelphia to Washington, Washington to New York, New York to San Francisco, and then San Francisco to L.A.
He's not doing that because of some screw-up at United Airlines. He's doing it because he'll get more miles. And because if one of those flights is oversold, he asks for a cash voucher so he can buy airline tickets and get even more miles. Clint says he's had plenty of company on his recent mileage runs.
There was another gentleman who took a bump in San Francisco with me Sunday, and he was asking the gate agent to route him very oddly. The agent was laughing and said, "Oh, it's the end of the year, isn't it?"
Now, Matthew Clint got to his United 1K elite status with nothing but leisure travel. But these days, many business travelers are playing the same game. Webster O'Brien is an aviation strategy consultant with SHE. He's also United Premier Exec and Gold on two other airlines.
Many companies have rolled back some of the benefits that are incorporated as part of their standard corporate package. And so people look to their frequent flyer status to bulk some of those up or augment what's not there.
So if the company is only going to buy you a coach ticket, you might be able to get into business class anyway. And lest you think these mileage runners are scamming the airlines, Webster O'Brien says,
the airlines find that their high-frequency travelers are well worth the perks that they spill on them. So I think it's more of a win-win than necessarily a scam.
In New York, holding a mere American gold status, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, if you own stock in Nike, Gatorade, Gillette, or one of the other companies that sponsor Tiger Woods, it might be time to ask the golfer to pay up. Two economists at the University of California, Davis, just released a study that estimates Tiger's indiscretions cost shareholders in those companies between $5 and $12 billion and reduce the value of those firms by more than 2%, not to mention the emotional damage we've all suffered from all the bad golfing puns. If you're traveling for New Year's, take us with you. Download the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. That's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.